Let's turn again, please, to the Word of God. We read together. I remind you that we read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, and we read the whole parable, one of the longest parables that the Savior told of the prodigal son. Let's seek the Lord again just for a moment in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the meeting thus far. You've been reminded already, Lord, in the announcements of those, O God, who have experienced bereavement in recent days. We would pray for them that the God of all comfort would be their God today. That the consolations of God would not be small with them. And they would know the Lord himself and all his tenderness drawing near. Lord, the hour has come now for the preaching of the Word of God. And we would remind thee, Lord, that it pleases thee by the foolishness of preaching, what the world would deem to be foolish. It pleases God to take such things, to use it, Lord, to fulfill your perfect will in saving those who will believe. Remember all who are gathered, especially unsaved ones. May this night find them gathered into Christ. Pray for the restoration of the backslider. Those who have got away from God, cold of heart, pray, Lord, that they might return unto thee. For thou hast said, then thou wilt return unto them. And Lord, as your own people battling on, revive us again, that we might rejoice in thee and be glad. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I have a text tonight from which we want to speak, and of course to preach the gospel of the grace of God. It's the words of the prodigal in the verse 17. It says, and when he came to himself, that's a very old-fashioned way of saying when he began to think about things, when wisdom returned to him, he said, how many servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. It's those words, bread enough and to spare. There's bread enough in the fowler's house. Bread enough and to spare. The Lord Jesus told this parable in response to the criticism of the scribes and the Pharisees. You go back to verse 2 to pick that up. It says, verse 1, then drew near unto him all the publicans, that is, all the tax collectors, hated, despised people, and sinners, for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes, those inveterate enemies of Christ, it says, they muttered, saying, this man, reference to the Lord Jesus, this man receiveth sinners, and he eats with them. And by telling this parable, the Savior effectively is confirming what they said. Yes, he's saying, I do indeed gather with sinners. I receive sinners. Sometimes we sing that hymn, don't we? Sinners Jesus will receive. Send the word of grace to you all. And I eat with them. I fellowship with them. Because this is why I came into the world. He said later on, Luke 19, verse 10, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. And the parable that we have read together powerfully encapsulates the whole gospel scenario. Here we have the young man. He's picturing for us here what he truly was. He was the sinner. The sinner leaving the Father's house. He could abide to be under his Father's rules and his regulations and even his love and his care no longer. And he wanted to go out into that big world that's out there. The distant fields always looking greener, to indulge himself in all the sins of the flesh. The Bible says he wasted his substance on riotous living. He had party after party, and everything looked nice and rosy in the garden while he was spending his money. But of course, the money ran down. The money run down. You can't keep spending money. You can't keep putting that little bit of plastic into the little beeping machine in the counter or in Amazon or wherever you spend your money. You can't keep doing that. And the money ran down. And as the money ran down, the Bible says here, there arose a great famine in the land. And all this man's friends all disappeared from him like snow of a ditch. And the Bible says not only did he begin to be a monk, but we see him here as lying destitute in the gutter. And he is here, really, we have here a picture of man's soul without God. He is alienated from his Father. He is bankrupt and he is desolate. And when he's down at his lowest place that he could be, envying the very swine that he was being paid but a few coppers to look after, then he began to think about his Father. His Father back at home, whose ways he had once cast off. And he began to think about the great benefit of coming back home. Coming back home in repentance and in faith. And here we have the long track home and the great welcome that he received. You know, when I preach on this passage as a passage, and tonight we're taking a text from it, but if I spend 20 minutes or 25 minutes building all this up to this man coming home, I always get emotional. Always get emotional, and I try not to get emotional when I come to this bit where the Father ran and threw the big arms of love round about him. My voice always quavers at that point when I think of the tremendous love of God that is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. But we want to look tonight at the words of our text in particular. Again, verse 17. There's bread enough and to spare. And there's no reason. Plenty of excuses out there. But there is no reason why any sinner should not return home to God and be saved. Because the gospel that we proclaim in this church tonight is all sufficient. The great hymn puts it like this: all I need in thee I find, O Lamb of God I come. We say tonight that there is bread enough. Bread enough and to spare in the Father's house. The first thing that the sinner needs, number one, the first thing that the sinner needs is love to assure him. Love to assure him. Many sinners, when they are convicted by the Spirit of God, and we pray that Holy Ghost conviction will fall upon the sinner, and that he will open up their hearts and show them how wicked they are. When the sinner is convicted concerning the depth of the guilt and his pollution of sin, they feel often such shame that they wonder whether God should ever love them. You remember the words of David? And David was a man in his good days. He was the man after God's own heart. But then David fell. And David, when he realized the depth of his shame, he used these words. He says unto the Lord, I was as a beast before thee. Again he said, I am a worm and no man. Tonight we would have you see God as he truly is. God is absolutely holy. And to doubt that such a one enthroned in majesty and in power should entertain any feelings towards you is not the way to go. But it's a natural feeling that you might have. But as a gospel preacher tonight, I can say this. There's love enough and despair in the Father's heart, even for the vilest and the most wretched of sinners. You see, the Bible says that God loves his people with an everlasting love. We're going to follow this little theme tonight, bread and muffin despair. He loves us with an everlasting love. He loves us with an enduring love. For having loved his own that were in the world, he loved us on to the very end. Many waters cannot quench this great love that he has. It's a sacrificial love. For Christ loved the church, and he gave himself for her. Oh, I say, let this first captivate your heart tonight. The great text, Luther called it the gospel in a nutshell. God, not only God loved the world, but God so loved the world. That little word so is a powerful, powerful word for all the size of it. God so loved the world. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. There's an old outline that runs like this. The first two points are, God couldn't love any more. That is, the depth of his love could not go any deeper than this. And God couldn't give any more. He gave, he spared not his only begotten Son. And that's why the Bible says, oh, what manner of love. Oh, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Isn't it a wonderful thing that one of the first gospel truths that we learned, think back to your Sunday school days, think back to just being a little fella or a little girl. What did you learn in the Sunday school? What did you come home singing to your mum and dad at home? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Oh, let it sink into your heart tonight. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, how vile, no matter how wicked your past might be, we can say today that Jesus loves you. The Father knew there was love enough and to spare in the Father's house. I will arise and I will go to my Father. Bread enough and to spare. But then the sinner needs something else tonight. He needs not only love to assure him, but he needs mercy to spare him. Mercy to spare him. Because the sinner is guilty. And this prodigal son here, he acknowledged his guilt. I will arise and I will go to my Father. And I will say, Father, I have sinned. I have sinned. He's going to take the sinner's place. We know that sin always carries consequences. The Bible says it is the wages of sin, earned and deserved. The wages of sin is death. The Bible says of the sinner, still unsaved, still unconverted out of Christ, he is abiding under the wrath of a sin-hating God. The Bible says of the sinner, he is condemned already. The text that he needs to think about is to flee from the wrath to come, because we are waiting as the people of God for the coming again of the Lord Jesus. And when he comes again, the Bible says he is coming in flaming fire to take vengeance on them who know not God and who obey not the gospel. You see, the law of God is holy. In demanding such a price be paid. And the sinner has nothing to offer. Again, the prodigal, let's think about the prodigal. He's penniless. He has no mitigating factors that can lessen his guilt any. He has ticked every wrong box. He has done everything he ought not to have done. He has got guilty as hell written all over him. And he has only one plea. And that plea is the mercy of God. How merciful is the mercy of God? Is there enough? Is there enough in despair? Well, the Bible tells us, yes, there is. Psalm 69, verse 13, O God, in the multitude, bread enough in despair. In the multitude of thy mercy, hear me, in the truth of thy salvation. Psalm 86 verse 5, God is plenteous in mercy upon all that call upon him. The hymn writer wrote these words and he says, O depth of mercy, can there be mercy still reserved for me? Can my God his wrath forbear, me, the chief of sinners, spare? And the Bible's answering, it's grinding out, as it were, these great affirmative verses. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. He joins his mercy with his covenant. The Bible says, he delights in mercy. He delights in mercy. Who is a pardoning God like thee? Elizabeth, cousin of Mary, went home and she told how the Lord had great mercy on her. You remember Saul of Tarsus? Saul of Tarsus murdered many, many Christians. In murdering the Christians in those early days of the church, it was as if he was persecuting Christ himself. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Because you're persecuting the least of my brethren. You're doing it unto me. He calls himself the chief of sinners. He was wicked. He was cruel. He was murderous. He was violent. What's his testimony? I obtained mercy. And so will you. So will you if you claim. Yield to the claims of the gospel. The sinner needs something else and they need to move on here. He needs grace to lift him. He needs grace to lift him. You see, the sinner has rejected grace. The words of the Lord Jesus standing outside Jerusalem. He's within a few days of his own death and he comes to this city outside whose walls he's going to be crucified and die, and he's weeping. But he's not weeping for himself. No, he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets, how often, read enough in despair, how often I would have gowered thee as a hen gowers her chickens under her wings, but ye would not. The sinner has rejected sufficient grace to save him. For 1 Peter 4 and verse 10 talks about the manifold grace of God. God's throne is a throne of grace. The grace of our God is not only abundant, but in 1 Timothy 1, verse 14, it says it is exceedingly abundant. Sometimes, you know, the Apostle Paul, such as the wonders of the gospel, he sometimes trips over his own feet, pouring out all the superlatives to describe it. Ephesians 1, verse 7, he talks about the riches of his grace. Ephesians 2 verse 7, he talks about the exceeding riches of his grace. Do you not hear the voice of God tonight? He says to you, unsaved one, my grace is sufficient for thee. God is able to make all grace do what? Abound towards you. Is it any wonder, Mr. Newton, the old slave trader, the old blasphemer, as he called himself, he wrote those lovely words, amazing grace. Oh, amazing grace, that how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He wrote those lovely words, the grace that has brought me safe thus far, this grace will lead me home. Sinner needs grace to lift him. There's grace. Bread enough and despair in the fowler's house. The sinner needs pardon to clear him. He needs pardon to clear him. That is, to clear him from the guilt of his sin. You see, sin just can't be swept under the carpet. That happens all the time, doesn't it? Something happens and there's cover-ups. It gets denied. It gets played down. There's fresh spins put on it. Just turn on your television any given day. The sinner's guilty. And the past cannot be undone. Even God cannot undo the past. What is done is done. History records it. It's there. But sin can be pardoned. And the unsaved man, woman, still wallowing in the pig's pens of sin, still has sin on the rack court. The charges are there. for all to read one day. All the books will be open. And I'm glad tonight there's pardon for sin. Psalm 25, verse 1, the psalmist said, it's verse 11, for thy name's sake, O Lord. That's holy ground, isn't it? Oh, for thy name, not for my sake, not because of something I have done, but for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. And you need great pardon for great sin. And the Bible says God is ready to pardon. Listen to what he says, Isaiah 55. Isaiah was known as the evangelical prophet. Not because the others weren't evangelical, but there's a lot of gospel in Isaiah. Isaiah 55, verse 7. Doesn't he hear these words tonight? Let the wicked forsake his way. Let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy upon him. And it says, let him return unto our God. Why? Because our God will do what? He will abundantly pardon. Bread enough and to spare in the fellow's house. He needs something else. The sinner needs cleansing to wash him. What state do you think the prodigal was in, the pigsty? Time he was walking up and down the big city of this strange country, this foreign country that he was in. He was in the designer gear. He could splash the cash. He had it there. He was wearing all the great gear. He was the envy of all who knew him. The young man about town. But then the famine came. The harvest time came. Not the physical harvest where there was a famine, but the harvest of his sins came. Crept up on him, overtook him. Left him there almost naked in the pig pen. He's in rags. And that's what the Bible says. It says of us all. What are we by nature? By sin. We are all as an unclean thing. Oh, our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We do fade as a leaf. Our iniquities like the wind have carried us away. You see, sin does something. It pollutes. Sin leaves a deep dyed stain on the soul. And that's why the psalmist, in that great penitential psalm, he cried out and he says, wash me thoroughly. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. You see, every sin has got to go. And in the gospel, every sin does go because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, it cleanses us from all sin. What a wonderful thing that is. And the blood has washed all your sins away, far, far away, by the blood current sweat. Cleansing for me. Cleansing for me. You see, in heaven, there's a great multitude in heaven. Who could calculate the sins of such a crowd? And all kinds of sinners are there, including some of the deepest dyed sinners. The man who called himself the chief of sinners is there. And what do they sing in unison together? Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins. Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. It was a problem congregation. It wasn't easy. And he lists a whole list of sins of which these people were guilty, including some of the vilest sins known to mankind. Such were some of you. If ever you need to pay attention to the tenses in the Bible, it's in that verse. Such were some of you. But you're washed, you're sanctified, and you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves, it says, from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Tell me, where do we go for cleansing tonight? We go to what the Bible calls a great fountain. Again, the fountain. The fountain opened up for all sin and all uncleanness. And there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The sinner needs something else. He needs liberty to free him He needs liberty to free him, because the sinner, when he's still unregenerate and still unconverted and still in his sins, the Bible says this, he is bound by the devil. The devil leads him captive at his will. But here's the gospel. Here's what Jesus came to do, to bring liberty to the captives. Mr. Wesley's great hymn says he breaks the power of cancelled sin and he sets the prisoner free. Oh, what kind, what extent is the freedom? Romans 8 verse 21 says, talks about the glorious liberty of the sons of God. John 8 verse 36, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That little word indeed shows again bread enough, liberty enough, and despair in the fowler's house. And when this young man said, when he came to himself, I will arise and I will go to my fowler, it is because his chains, the chains of the devil, were loosed. And the gospel cry of liberty had entered into his soul. I perish with hunger. Here I am, what a fool I have been. I perish with hunger. Even the servants, the lowest of the low really, in my fowler's house have bread enough and to spare. I perish with hunger. If I sit here, I will die. I will arise and I will go. The chains are being smashed and broken. Number 7 here. Sinner needs peace. Sinner needs peace to soothe him. You see, the Bible says there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. The wicked are like a troubled sea, and it cannot find rest. We've all stood maybe at Portrush, Ballycastle, wherever you go to the beach. Well, you've maybe gone in the winter time, and the sea's troubled. Troubled sea cannot find rest. Waves are angry. The waters are swirling round. That's a picture of the human soul. Troubled sea that cannot find rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. The sinner can't have peace because he has a conscience. And that conscience is God's whistleblower. That conscience is Adam again and again and again and again. His sins that promise so much have delivered so little. And death haunts him. Death haunts the sinner. What if tonight is the night I go out into eternity? Where will I be tonight? That's what the sinner's facing. And in his heart of hearts, the sinner knows he's not right with God. He knows that he cannot afford to meet God. Eternity frightens the sinner. But here's the message. Jesus came. And Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he made peace by the blood of his cross. That's why he went to Calvary. The Bible calls him the Prince of Peace. Do you remember he's out in the boat one day? Great storm arises. He's in the hinder part, the back end of the boat. He's asleep. And they come and they shake him. Master, do you not care? We're perishing. The boat's beginning to sink. And he arouses himself from the sleep. And he stands up in the midst of that storm. And he says, peace be still. And the Bible says, immediately there was a great calm, for the stormy winds fulfill his word. Is there peace and despair in the fowler's house for the troubled soul? The Bible says peace like a river. There's peace like a river, as the hymn writer says, has flooded my soul. The Bible says great peace have they who love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I say beware tonight of false preachers, false teachers, false evangelists who cry peace, peace, when there is no peace. What's the problem there? They have healed slightly the hurt of my people. And don't settle for a fool's peace. No, you need the real article tonight. And it's only found in the God of peace, one of his titles, who brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus. The sinner needs joy to cheer him. Joy to cheer him. Does the ungodly not have joy? Do we not hear the laughter of the wicked? Yes, turn on your television. Turn it on some night. After 9 o'clock, the so-called watershed. Watch all the comedian shows. They're laughing their heads off at all sorts of things. But remember what the Bible says. I don't want to spoil anybody's joy, but remember what the Bible says. There's a fly in the ointment here. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Woe unto you that laugh now, said the Lord Jesus. He's speaking about the laugh of the wicked here. He's not talking, not trying to spoil fun. The Savior rejoiced in spirit. But he says to the wicked, woe unto you that laugh now. For he says, as such they shall mourn. But what about the child of God? Everlasting joy shall be upon their hands. When David brought back the Ark of the Covenant, there was great joy. There was a lifting up of the voice with joy. Psalm 43 verse 4, God is my exceeding joy. 1 John 1 verse 4, these things write I unto you, that your joy might be full at God's right hand. There's fullness of joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy enough and despair in the fowler's house. Ninthly and lastly, the sinner needs wisdom to instruct them. You see, it's the fool who says in his heart, there is no God. It's the fool who says, eat, drink, and be merry, for you have many years left. It's foolishness that floods out of the sinner's heart. But the fear of the Lord is just the beginning of wisdom. There's a whole chunk of the Bible that we call wisdom literature. Again, the scripture says, if any man lack wisdom, he has played the fool exceedingly. What does he do? What should he do? Let him ask of God, who giveth to all men. And how does he give it? He giveth to all men liberally, and he upbraideth not. He doesn't say, oh, it's you again. No, he gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. The scriptures are able to make the wise, make us wise unto salvation. You know, tonight we could keep going here. We could keep going here tonight. The unsaved is without God and is without hope. The saved has a hope that maketh him not to be ashamed. He has a living hope. He has a blessing hope, a blessed hope. And here's the prodigals. We're taking here the words of a young man who's still in the far country. And you might say, he's deluded. He's wishing here that there would be bread enough and to spare in the fowler's house. Well, you read what happened. The story itself backs up what he thought in the pig pen. The fowler ran to meet him. That's usually when I start getting emotional. The fowler ran to meet him. The fowler says, kill what? Kill the fatted calf. Get the big one we were keeping for the big birthday or whatever. Kill the fatted calf, he says. Go and get the best robe and put it round his thin shoulders. And as Bible says, not only was there music, this is hard for a free Presbyterian, but listen, there was dancing. There's times you can dance, you know. If this happens to you and you start dancing for the joy of God in your heart, well, we'll forgive you, won't we, for that. That man went walking and leaping and praising God when he was saved. You see, it backs it all out here, doesn't it? And in God's salvation, which is called his so great salvation. Is that the word so again? God so loved the world, so great salvation. There's salvation to the very uttermost. There's eternal redemption. Your need is not only met, your every need, it is excelled. It is excelled. Is it any wonder we preach the words, come. Come, for all things are now ready. Come and drink of the water of life. Yea, says in Psalm 5 verse 1, yea, drink abundantly. Why stay in the pig pen tonight? What are you doing there? Not asking what got you there, oh sin. I'm asking you, why would you stay there? Why would you perish a spiritual starvation when there's bread enough and to spare in the fowler's house? When whosoever will may come and take freely of the water of life. Will you come tonight? No matter how dark your past, your present, how bleak your future. Well, the future hasn't come yet. Tonight can be the night of your salvation. And if you come as a sinner to Jesus, Jesus said, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. There you go again. I will in no wise cast out. That little word, no wise, is usually translated by the term, God forbid. God forbid that I should cast them out, because he came into the world to save sinners. We tell him, you're the sinner Jesus came to save. He'll save you. But you need to come home. You need to come home. Will you come home tonight? Let's bow our heads, please, in the Lord's presence. The meeting will soon be over, just in a few minutes. And let me assure you tonight, there's room at the cross for you. Millions have come. Yet room. Yet room for one. There's room at the cross for you. There's a great multitude that no man can number. They have all these things that we have talked about tonight. God is a sufficient God. He's a sufficient Savior, but you need to come. If you sit on in the pig pen of your sin, you will perish with hunger. He that believeth in him, trusts him, shall not perish, but have everlasting and abundant life. Father in heaven, thank you for your help tonight in the preaching of the word. We pray for any in the meeting that are still unconverted, unsaved, still in the pig pen of sin, wallowing in the mire. Lord, you lifted the psalmist out of the miry clay, and Lord, out of the fearful pit, and you set his feet upon the rock. You established his going. You put a new song in his mouth. Lord, do it again even this night. Let none leave the house of God unconverted. Let none leave the house of God backslidden in heart. But Father, draw them to yourself. Lord, tonight we cannot leave them lost and known. We want them over there. And we're praying to that great end in Jesus' name. Amen. 221 is our closing hymn, and we're just going to sing just a couple of verses of this hymn, 221. And we're going to sing verses 1 and 2 of this hymn. We'll stand to sing, remain standing then for the benediction. If you want to speak with me tonight, then I'm in no big hurry away, and I'll be happy to speak with you. But even where you're sitting in the pew, you can bow your head and you can ask the Lord to be your Saviour. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.